Thank you, Pastor. Well, it is a joy and blessing to be here with you tonight. I see some friends that I've known for a long time, and then some friends that I've made their acquaintance not so long ago. And I just hope that I just hope all of you is my friend right now. Amen. I tell you, I look out there and see all these precious men of God, great men of God, sitting all around the building tonight. I kind of felt like that fella that was going to break in the country store, and somebody tipped off the owner. And so when he come through the back door that night, the guy was sitting there with a shotgun. He stuck it under his nose when he walked in. He said, who am I and what am I doing here? And so... Amen. I have a friend that does a little nursing home service, and he sings over there at the rest home. And after one of the services, he was talking to one of the residents, and he said to the little lady, he said, "Now, do you know who I am?" She said, "No, but they can tell you at the front desk." I tell you, sometimes you... not quite sure who you are, amen. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Exodus. We'll be in Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 13. And I want to begin reading about verse number 17 tonight. Exodus chapter number 13 and verse number 17. The Bible said, "It came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all your precious children that have come and gathered together in the house of the Lord, God, to sing your praise and worship you. And Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, we come asking that you could use us, Lord, in some way to be a blessing and a help to them. God, I pray that you could speak through us tonight, Lord, to the hearts of your people. Father, I pray the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, would come upon your children tonight. Lord, I pray you'd walk these aisles and stir our hearts to the glory of God. Lord, we need you in this hour. And I pray, Lord, you'd manifest your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe tonight that one of the greatest truths in the Bible is that God leads his people. God leads his children along. And I believe that is a great truth. I think about what the psalmist said in Psalm 48 when he said, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And so I'm glad that we have a guide tonight. Somebody asked me some time back. They said, "How would you like to go to New York City?" I said, "I'd only want to go under one condition." I said, "You give me a personal guide. Don't drop me down in there and leave me by myself." I said, "I want somebody who knows where to go and somebody that knows where not to go. Amen. I said, I need me a guide. But you know, I'm glad God didn't drop us down in the midst of this world by ourselves and leave us without some guidance and without some direction. But I'm glad that he does guide his children. Amen. He said here that that the Lord led them. I'm glad of that, aren't you? He said, but God led the people about. And we need his guidance. We need his direction. There's a lot of reasons we could give for that tonight. And I'm not going to belabor that point. But, you know, our wisdom is limited. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And, you know, there's so much wickedness that abounds about us tonight. The Bible said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies, the wiles of the wicked one that walks about as a roaring lion, makes it so necessary that we have guidance and that we have direction in our life. And so I'm glad the Lord does guide us tonight. Well, I want to look at this guidance that the Lord gave to the children of Israel here for a few moments tonight. Yeah. And I want to preach on this pillar of cloud and fire that God led them with. And I want to say tonight that when you look at this direction that God gave them, that even though you and I are not being led by a literal cloud tonight like Israel was, the direction in our life from God is just as real, amen. He leads us tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through his providential workings and directions in our life. God is leading his people. Now look with me, if you will, at our text tonight. The Bible said here in verse number 21 that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. I want to say tonight that this cloud was a supernatural cloud. It was not an ordinary cloud. Now, you know, it was not like a cumulus cloud, which the meteorologists tell us is just like, you know, a rain cloud or what we might think is a marshmallow cloud. It wasn't that kind of cloud at all. The Bible said that it was a pillar of cloud. In other words, not a pillow of cloud, but a pillar of cloud. Just like a column, if you will. And it was a column cloud in the daytime, and it was a pillar of fire at night. And when the camp of Israel, when Israel pitched camp, and the tabernacle was set up in the midst of the camp, directly above the Holy of Holies was that pillar of fire that glowed and burned at all times. Amen. And so it was a supernatural cloud. The guidance and direction of God in the life of his children is supernatural. Amen. God leads his people. God guides his people. I'll tell you, how can you explain when you're about your business and the Holy Ghost begins to make impressions upon your heart? How can you explain that unless you've experienced that in your life as a Christian? How can you explain how that you can open this book and all of a sudden something will just jump off the page at you and get a hold of your heart? It's a supernatural guidance and a supernatural a direction from God. Amen. He guides his people. This cloud was a supernatural cloud. And then I want to say tonight that this cloud was a suitable cloud. It was suitable to the needs of the people. Now you think about what he did here. The children of Israel were wandering in a wilderness, if you will. They were out in a desert land. I mean, it got real hot in the daytime. Sometimes the temperature would drop and it'd get terribly cold at night. And so extreme temperatures, extreme heat, if you will. Now, what better for the Lord to give a people that are wandering in the hot, blazing desert than to bring a cloud over them, amen. Hallelujah. And give them some shade, amen. and give them a little coolness, praise God, while they're traveling in that desert land. I'm telling you, and then at nighttime, when it got dark and when it got cold, God gave them a pillar of fire to give them warmth and give them light, amen. I'm trying to say to you tonight that the direction and the guidance of the Lord is suitable to the needs of God's people, amen. You know, I believe when God's leading you, it's kind of like a good wearing pair of shoes. It's a good fit, amen. You know, God knows how to make something a good fit. But you get a pair of shoes that don't fit, and I'll tell you, they'll wear your feet out, amen. You know, it's kind of like getting out of the will of God. You know, you get out of God's will, everywhere you turn, you get blisters all over, amen. It's like God's just blistering you to death. Nothing's comfortable, nothing fits, nothing's working, and nothing seems to work out. But when you get in that good, perfect will of God, I'm telling you, it's suitable to your need. It's like a good wearing pair of shoes, amen. It'll give you shade in the daytime and give you light and warmth in the nighttime, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Yes, amen. You know, every once in a while, you know, we may make observations. Sometimes we make too many observations about people's lives, don't we? And sometimes somebody say, well, what do you reckon wrong over there? And they say, well, you know, I just don't guess it was a good fit. It just didn't fit right, like a pair of shoes. It just didn't fit, amen. Just wasn't a good fit. But when God is leading and when God is directing, boy, it's suitable. Amen. Praise God, it's suitable. Amen. But not only was this cloud a supernatural cloud, and this cloud was suitable to the needs of the people, but I want you to look in Exodus chapter 14 and look at verse number 19 and notice something else with me about this cloud. Exodus 14 and verse number 19. The Bible said, and the angel of God went which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now, this cloud for Israel was supernatural. It was suitable, but it was also a shield of protection for God's people. You've heard it said before, the safest place you can be in this world is in the center of God's will for your life. Amen. I'm telling you, when you're walking in God's will, you're doing what God wants you to do, you couldn't be in a better place, amen. This cloud was bringing darkness on the Egyptians. It was over here at the same time giving light to God's people, and it stood as a barrier. It stood as a barrier of protection between God's people and the Egyptians, amen. Yes, sirree. The only way the Egyptians could injure the Israelites at that time, but they'd had to overcome God. Amen. They'd had to go through God to get them, amen. Huh? Yes, sirree. Praise God for his protecting hand. You know, some of you, I heard the story several years ago, and some of you brethren that maybe came up down through Tabernacle in Greenville, South Carolina, many years ago, have heard the name of Margaret Stringer. And some of you may already know that story, but I was talking with Brother Robbie Mullinax one day. Somebody had told me the story of Margaret Stringer. And you know how you hear some things sometimes that sound so wow, you begin to wonder, man, is that maybe a sanctified parable, or did that really happen? Amen. You ever wondered that? And so I said to Brother Robbie, we was over at Wilson in the camp meeting, and Brother Robbie was there singing, and somehow Margaret's name came up in the conversation. And I said, Robbie, tell me something. Do you know this lady? He said, oh, yeah, I've known her all my life. I said, let me tell you what I heard, and then you tell me if it's true. And so I told him. And he said, oh, yes, every bit of it is so. And so, you know, about, this has been a long time ago, I guess, Brother Melvin Vaughn, I'm sure you met Margaret. And I guess it's probably been, what, 50, 60 years ago when she surrendered to go to New Guinea. Is that right? Probably at least that long. Okay.
In my childhood days.
In your childhood days.
Amen, brother.
Anyway, Margaret was a very beautiful young lady. I guess she was probably about 20, 21 years old. She came down the aisle one Sunday morning at Tabernacle, and Dr. Seitler met her at the altar and asked her, could he help her? And she said, Dr. Seitler, God has burdened my heart to go to New Guinea and to reach a certain tribe of people. And Dr. Seitler said to her, well, Margaret, we need to pray, you know. So, and they began to pray. And after they prayed, Dr. Seitler talked to her parents. And he said, you need to talk to Margaret. He said, I think she's got a lot of zeal and a lot of desire. But he said, I think she is mistaken here. He said, you need to talk to her. He said, for one thing, this tribe that she says she feels led to go to, there's never been a civilized human being in that tribe ever. Said she would be the first one. And he said, not only that, these people are cannibals. And he said, for her to go there alone, he said, I think you just need to talk to Margaret. Well, they did. They talked and they talked and they talked. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they talked some more. Margaret wouldn't take no for an answer. She said, I can't help what anybody says. I know God has told me to go and give the gospel to this tribe of people.
Amen.
Do you know it was such a dangerous place? I said, Robbie, tell me, did this really happen? He said, it did. They took her in on a helicopter and they lowered her down on a cable. They wouldn't even land the thing. The men in the helicopter didn't want to go down there. They wouldn't even land the thing. They dropped her down on a cable in the midst of that tribe in New Guinea. She made them promise. She said, you promise me that in 6 months you'll come back to this spot. They said, well, we'll come back to this spot, but we don't plan on seeing you here in 6 months. I mean, they figured that she was just more or less a human sacrifice. But there was two things. There was two things that God knew about that tribe that nobody else in the world knew. Number one, God knew that they would not eat a woman. They would eat men, but they wouldn't eat a woman. Let me move quickly to the next point. Hey, only God knew. Only God knew they only eat men. Somebody said, well, woman shouldn't be going. Well, listen to me. Before you get critical, if a man had gone, he'd have been supper as soon as he got there. And the second thing that God knew that nobody else knew was it passed down through their tribal traditions for years and years was a story that went something like this. Someday, a beautiful goddess will descend from heaven, and when she comes, she will bring news of everlasting life.
Amen.
And 6 months later, when they flew over that spot, there stood Margaret Stringer with a host of converts standing around her. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that looked like humanly the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. But God said, listen, you get in the middle of his will, that's the safest place in the whole world.
That's
Can you imagine if somebody had tried to lay a hand of harm on Margaret? What would have happened to them? I'm telling you, this cloud of divine direction and leadership was a means of protection. Somebody said, I'm afraid to surrender to the will of God. I'm scared of what might happen. Oh no, friend. If God's directing, if you know it's God's will, then get where God wants you to be. It's a shield of protection. But then let me move on. Notice something else. Turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. This cloud was supernatural. This cloud was suitable to the needs of the people. This cloud became a shield of protection. But then I want to say this. This cloud was a sign of God's presence. In Numbers chapter 9, notice please in verse number 15. The Bible said on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and in even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. So if you want to know if God was there, all you had to do is look up over the tabernacle, amen. Praise God. There was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It was there always. I will never leave thee nor forsake. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tent. The commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. So it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, the cloud was taken up, they journeyed, whether it were 2 days or a month or a year. Now, it was a sign of God's presence. Now, basically, there was only three ways. If you were a child of God, if you were an Israelite, and you were following God's guidance and God's direction, you could not possibly ever be in the dark. As long as you followed Him, you had light. Amen. There was light. Now, only three ways you could get in the dark. Number one, you could turn and go back to Egypt. No doubt some did. We know many did in their heart. But I'm going to say this tonight. Even tonight as a child of God, if you're a mind to, you can go back to Egypt. But I want to say this to you. You will go in the dark. I've known some people to get so bold and brazen in their sin that they even accuse God of leading them into it. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can go into sin as a Christian, but God's not going to lead you in it. Are you with me? God's not going to lead you in it. And if you're mine to turn and go back to the slime pits of Egypt, you can go, but you will go in the dark. Then the other way, another way you could get in the dark, is that when the cloud began to move, And God said it was time to go, and you refused to go, then if you stayed when God went, you would be in the dark. Now, why would anybody possibly want to linger when God's moving? Well, notice something that took place here. Did you notice what he said about the length of time that this cloud would abide upon the tabernacle? Did you notice he said sometimes it was 2 days or a month or a year? Now think about something with me here tonight for just a moment. Think about this. When you pitch camp as an Israelite, it was a large undertaking, to say the least. You've got to read several chapters in your Bible just to figure out how to put that thing together and who carried what and who did this and who did that, how all this kind of stuff took place. Do you know when they set that thing up, when they set that tabernacle up, it wasn't like just going out camping one night, amen. There was 3.5 million Jews encamped by tribe all around, all the way around that tabernacle. It was a humongous undertaking. I mean, it was hard work. Can you imagine? They get that thing set up. There's that pillar of fire there. They've been there one day. They've gone there through the second day now. And man, they're sitting back saying, I tell you what, boy, that last lag was sure tough. Man, I tell you, it sure is good to get a little breather here. And about time they sit back, all of a sudden, da-da-da-da-da! Moses said it's time to break camp, the cloud's moving. Somebody said, the cloud's moving? We only been here 2 days. You mean we got to break this thing apart? We got to pack up now, and we got to move? We've only been here 2 days. Man, I'm tired. Doesn't the preacher know we just had? Doesn't the preacher know we just had mission conference last month? Doesn't he know we're tired? Wonder what's wrong with Moses? Can't he be content just to sit and spell? Wouldn't the temptation be to say, I'll tell you one thing. If y'all want to go on out trying to go ahead, man, I'm sitting here by the fire. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you could stay, but you'd stay in the dark. Because the cloud's moving. The cloud's moving. You know, sometimes it's easier to stay than to move. Now, and don't misunderstand me tonight. I have always had high regard and respect for the men of God that God would send them to a place and let them die there. I think that's wonderful. I do. I believe that. And I believe God does lead men that way. But I don't think he leads every man that way. God does. Hey, amen. Thank you, preacher. Yeah. You think I got a little stump I need to bump there? Amen. I say it. Listen, God sends some men to a place. He builds a work around that man. And glory to God, he does a great work in that life and through that life. Sometimes they may stay 30, 40, 50 years. And glory to God for that.
Yes. Amen.
But on the other hand, there are men like the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
I guess 2 or 3 years, the longest he ever stayed in any one spot. But you see, whatever the cloud does, that's what you better follow.
Amen.
You better follow the cloud. If the cloud stays stopped, you stay. The cloud moves, you better follow the cloud. But hey, let me give you this and I'll be done. Huh? You get in the dark if you go back to Egypt. You get in the dark if you stay when you're supposed to move. And then on the other hand, you get in the dark if you move when you're supposed to stay. Now hold on here just a minute. What in the world would give somebody the itch to get up and go without God's leadership? Well, you read it like I did. Sometimes 2 days. Or a week, or a month. Wait a minute now, wait a minute. Or a year. Is it all right to walk down there just a minute, preacher? I'm just about done, but stay with me a minute. Listen. Can't you see it? Couple disgruntled elders. You kind of tell by the way they're walking around with their hands in the pocket.
Yeah.
One of them says, "Have you noticed what I noticed?"
Yeah.
Well, whether you have or not, we are in the same spot right now we were a year ago. There ain't nothing happened in a year. We ain't seen no movement in a whole year. You know, I don't know. Old Moses has done a pretty good job up to this point. But I don't know. Maybe he's slipping a little now. Just don't seem right that we'd be right where we were a year ago and ain't done nothing. Now I hear one old boy say, "Well, I tell you what I'm a-fixing to do. If this thing don't move pretty soon, I'm a-going on out yonder and I'm going to see what's out there." Well, I tell you what, you can go ahead, but you'll go in the dark. You can go ahead, and I've seen a lot of them do it. I've seen a lot of them go ahead in the time of famine. I've seen them leave, go ahead when things weren't moving, nothing didn't seem to be happening, and they couldn't be content, they couldn't wait on God, and they couldn't wait for the Holy Ghost to move, so they decided to go out and try to create something on their own or find something somewhere on their own. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. If the cloud's not moving, you better stay where you are or you'll go in the dark. Go in the dark. You know, waiting is one of the hardest things we ever have to do. Wait. 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 Sometimes the best thing you can do is nothing. I contend it's better to do nothing than to do something and it be the wrong thing. Amen. We need to wait on the Lord. Wait on God. Have you ever thought about Noah in that old boat, that ark? You know, he's kind of ready to get off of that thing after a while, you know. Just a bunch of stinking animals cooped up in there all that time. You know, he sent out the dove, sent out the ravens, remember, checking things out, trying to see what was going on out there. But can I ask you a question? In the situation Noah was in, what could he possibly do but wait for God to move the water? What's he going to do? Dive out in there? I'll tell you, sometimes God gets us hemmed up to where there ain't nothing you can do but wait on God. But if the cloud ain't moving, that ain't a bad thing to do. God leads his children. He leads his children along. God's guidance is as much available to you tonight as a Christian through this book and through the Spirit of God, and his providential working in your life is just as real for me and you tonight as it was for the children of Israel when they were under the cloud. Jesus said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Follow him. Follow him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to be here tonight. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, it is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. Thank you that you do direct and guide your children. Lord, I pray tonight you'll help us. God, every one of us need guidance. Every one of us need direction. Every one of us need your help, Lord. Lord, lead us. Lead us on, Lord. Lead us and guide us beside the still waters, Lord, through the valleys and over the mountaintops and across the hills, Lord. And then lead us on, Lord, into that glorious, in thy glorious presence in that day to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.